Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hello, everybody. I'm CJ Liu. Welcome to Fire It Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today, we have Jackie Henricher, who is the CEO of Bushoot, who is doing so many interesting things with respect to pioneering some of the innovations that we need to help solve some of our environmental problems. And she is here to educate us on what she describes as a no-brainer solution. And having read through her website, learning all about bamboo, I agree. It is kind of a no-brainer solution. So if you care about the environment, start looking at some bamboo products. If you care about the environment, listen to this show because you'll learn some interesting information that you probably didn't know about bamboo. So welcome, Jackie.
Thank you, CJ. Great to be here.
I was kind of shocked. It's great to have you. I was shocked at all the different uses of I was shocked about all the environmental benefits of bamboo. I knew that it was a sustainable fiber, but I didn't know all the other pieces about it. So help educate the listeners about kind of the virtues of bamboo.
Well, yeah, bamboo has incredible attributes. It's great for a lot of things, and many of us as consumers buy many bamboo things in the United States. What we don't typically realize is that none of those products are made in the United States. They're typically made mainly in China, for instance, and brought into the United States. And all of that is being done through harvest of very old bamboo forests in China, which are, you know, not necessarily sustainable and dwindling somewhat, but literally thousands of things can be made out of a single group of plants, which are, bamboos are actually grass, giant grass.
Mm-hmm.
And very versatile.
So anything you were saying earlier, it's like any fibrous thing, whether, I know I've seen bamboo wood products, so hardwood floors, bamboo furniture, I've seen clothing made out of bamboo. Is it virtually any fibrous type of thing can be a bamboo item?
Yeah, it has such a unique fiber character. Looks a little like hardwood fiber, and also looks like, for instance, a softwood type fiber, which is a little bit longer fiber. So you have all this hardness and you have softness, which allows bamboo to be made into things like all kinds of paper products, and then as versatile as the textiles you might wear a t-shirt made out of bamboo. So it's the fiber characteristic of bamboo that makes it very unique and lends itself to so many products. Everything from the chopsticks you use at lunch to the floor in your yoga studio.
Interesting. So the fibers, I don't know enough about fiber. So there's the softness that the soft kind of part of the fiber can be used for clothing, and I assume the outside hard, you know, when you look at a bamboo, the hard pieces around it are used then for the yoga floor. Is that how they divvy up the plant?
Yeah, basically. It is a bit complex, but when you think about, you know, what we used to do to make paper when we were kids, you know, you'd mm-hmm. mash up stuff and throw it in water and then put a screen underneath it. So that's a finer
yes.
process.
Right.
But flooring is more of a dimensional lumber process, so we're actually using it, not breaking down the wood and the cane as much. So it's just incredibly significant how many things you can actually do with a single plant. In particular, there are some very, you know, commercially valuable species of bamboo that lend themselves to this, and they're not, you know, tiny bamboos. They're big, huge, tall forestry bamboos that grow 100 feet tall or more and have very large canes, 8-10 inch diameter canes. So
wow.
They look and act like forestry, and
wow.
that allows that allows them to be harvested and utilized in significant ways for a multiplicity of products.
Interesting. So why is bamboo so great for the environment? I was surprised by reading all those different stats on your website, but tell us.
Well, bamboo, many of the bamboos that are commercially valuable are also, as I just mentioned, very giant, and those giants are the fastest growing plants in the world. So some of these bamboos are, I think, one in two fastest growing plants in the world, which means that they're constantly pushing biomass, meaning growth. Mm-hmm. And just the simplicity of that process means that they're going to take in CO2 and release oxygen. And so that's why they can sequester so much more CO2 and why, you know, a small planting of bamboo can have a dramatic effect on global warming, for instance. I mean, it can produce, you know, about 10 times the biomass, for instance, than, say, a similar stand of trees. So you're actually planting, utilizing less land to get more growth and therefore have a bigger impact on, for instance, CO2 and releasing more oxygen. So it's a really efficient group of plants and also big and fast. So it lends itself very well to being able to be a good scrubber.
So, can we just plant bamboo all over the place and solve some of our global, what kind of dent can it make in terms of some of the problems that we're having with global warming right now?
Well, because you use less land to get that much more biomass, you literally have to plant a fraction of what you would, for instance, in trees. We want to plant as many trees as possible as well, but you could. There are literally 1,200 species of bamboo. Not all of them are big, and not all of them, you know, have that ability to scrub like some of these big, giant, commercially valuable species. But certainly these could be planted in just about, you know, every country. We could certainly utilize them just for, you know, CO2 mitigation. But at the same time, they're totally sustainable, so you can harvest them. It's not like... This is like cutting a tree down. Basically, it's like mowing your lawn. So you cut these and they come back. So you're never really, you know, deforesting this planting. And so it's constantly having not only a positive impact on the environment, but if you look at what it's doing, it could do from an economic development perspective, you can be utilizing it for multiplicity of industries where it's planted at the same time.
Yeah, and I actually can attest to that. We have actually a big bamboo tree out of bamboo planting at our house. And we said, you know, we're a little bit afraid of the bamboo growing at a certain height. And the gardener just buzzed it all down. And I was like, what? I don't think this is going to go back. And literally in a matter, it not only grew back, but it grew back thicker and more dense. Was that my imagination, or is that what happened?
No, actually, it's fascinating that you should bring that up, because it is actually known that the more you harvest this group of plants, the more they give you. It's sort of like this amazing annuity. But they really do respond to being thinned or harvested, and in the case of, you know, the potential domestic opportunity here in the U.S., I mean, the idea that we could be harvesting and harvesting and harvesting a resource over and over and over again without having the image of a clear cut or stumps in the field is pretty remarkable and beginning to be quite compelling.
Yeah, and then is it only certain species that actually is so efficient in terms of its carbon dioxide consumption and oxygen production, or are all of the bamboo species out there? It's because you're saying it's because it's so big that's why it's actually so good at converting.
I mean everything, all plants are good. You know, they just because of the cycle that they use to grow can sequester CO2 and release oxygen. But it absolutely is because these are the big giants of the bamboo world and the fastest growing plants in the world. And that's what makes them such a compelling opportunity for that.
Okay, so here's the thing about bamboo. I used to work at a mediation center, and I would have neighbors arguing about bamboo all the time because it's so pervasive. So, and from what I read on your website, not all bamboo is pervasive like that. I was surprised about that.
Yeah, I mean, again, pretty misunderstood. There are two types of bamboos. There are running bamboos, clumping, and then clumping bamboos. And, you know, to confuse the listener more, not all, quote, clumping bamboos stay put. They can sometimes run, and not all running bamboos run. So a lot of what we see, in, especially in the United States, for instance, is we've all used relatively small-sized bamboos as a privacy screen in our backyards, usually some unknown green bamboo that runs and will typically creep across the property line, or and that even though they are moving, they're, what's not well understood is these plants are really shallow rooted, and this may be more detail than we need, but and therefore they're easy to dig. We can, you know, you can wipe a bamboo out pretty quickly if it's managed correctly. A lot of people in their yards have used barrier, and that forces a sort of a shallow rooted plant to go really deep, and that can cause some additional problems. But the plants that we're talking about for U.S. forestry, for instance, are giants, and while they're technically considered to be, quote, running bamboos, they really literally don't move, and we've got some remarkable examples of that. We've got several hundred-year-old groves here in the United States of some of the commercially valuable stuff, although most people have never seen them because they're you know, not well-known. But we have aerial photographs for almost, you know, 70 of those 100 years showing these big giants were sitting exactly where they were 100 years ago without much movement. So
that's fascinating.
But most people don't even, you know, until you see one of these big giant stands, you're probably not pretty very familiar with this type of bamboo. But
yes, and you know what? We have to wrap it up. We're going to talk more about bamboo, so don't worry. We're going to know more about bamboo in the next hour than you ever thought you'd know about bamboo. Thank you so much on educating us, Jackie, about bamboo. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back as we learn more about bamboo.
Bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
Transformation Talk Radio is designed to attract people like you and like me. Millions of people across the globe are looking to up-level their lives. If you have a message and want to take it out on Transformation Talk Radio, make sure you give us a call, 1-800-930-2819, or send an email to host@transformationtalkradio.com and get ready to host your own show on one of the fastest growing transformative networks in the world. Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. creatinggreaterpossibilities.com.
Are you ready to triumph over the challenges in your life? Are you ready to create the life you desire? Radio host of the hit show, Get Inspired, Sue London, overcame illness, abuse, disease, divorce, and near death. As a spiritual life coach, Reiki master, motivational speaker, and author, Sue's goal is to help millions of people cope, heal, and move forward. Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host, Sue London. Host Sue London and her weekly guest will bring you tools, techniques, products, and services that will help you get inspired to create the life you desire. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern to be inspired by radio host Sue London and her guest to help you create the life you desire. For more details, please visit AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Are the magic and mysteries of Egypt calling you? Picture yourself standing between the paws of the Sphinx, meditating inside the Great Pyramid and other sacred temples and exclusive visits. Imagine cruising down the Nile on a luxurious private sailing yacht and exploring the peaceful countryside of Egypt. If you're interested in travel that expands, transforms, and rejuvenates you, join Dr. Friedemann Schaub and Danielle Rama Hoffman, author of The Temples of Light, for a spiritual and healing journey to Egypt this September. Call for more information, 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-6463. Or visit EgyptIsCalling.com. That's EgyptIsCalling.com.
Stop. Get out of that car. Stop living your life in the passenger seat. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com and let us help you drive.
Welcome back. Hi, everyone. I'm CJ Liu. Welcome to the Fired Up with CJ show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And today we have Jackie Henricher, who is the CEO of Bushu and is tackling one of the pressing problems that we have in terms of deforestation in the world. And she has developed a product to meet international demands for bamboo, which is growing in popularity. You'll see bamboo all over the place in terms of clothing, apparel, hardwood fibers, etc. So we just talked about that in the last segment. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about how we can prevent the extinction of bamboo as a food source, both for animals and humans, as well as a use for so many different ways that we just mentioned. So welcome back, Jackie.
Thank you.
So, gosh, where to start? So in the previous segment, you had said that in China, a lot of the stuff that is that we see here, like, you know, the bamboo T-shirts and all those socks and products, it's actually being harvested from China. Is that what you said? From old growth?
Yeah, I mean, most of the bamboos that product we see mainly come from China. And it comes from a particular species of bamboo that is commonly known as mozo, M-O-S-O, which is a big, giant, 100-foot-tall bamboo. And it is one of the big forestry bamboos of China, and it's really where a lot of the innovation in developing all these products happened, around that particular species. And so almost everything you see is from one species, and it's from mainly China coming into the U.S.
Mm. Okay, and now is there, from the reports that I read to prepare for the show, it seemed like there's some species that are going extinct, and then that there's also a lot of concerns about deforestation because there's such a great demand for bamboo. It's almost the supply can't keep up with the demand. Is that true?
That's very true. The demand for bamboo for a multiplicity of types of products is extraordinarily high today compared to, say, even 7 years ago. And you could even just look at the price of, say, bamboo pulp. 2007 was probably about $400 a metric ton, and today it's near $1,600 a metric ton, wow. Far more expensive than any other virgin pulp out there. But what that really says is, you know, it's not a sustainable resource, and so like any other old growth resource, bamboo, those big forests in China are being over harvested because there's so much pressure.
And what does it mean to be over harvested? I mean, if you said it's a grass, so I can just keep on cutting it, it'll grow back. Is it harvested before it reaches 100 feet? I mean, what does it mean to be over harvested in this context?
Yeah, great question. The problem is it's got a series of underground rhizomes or the parts of the plant that sort of keep its viability. And if you keep cutting the top away from that more than, say, 50% of what's standing stock or what's above ground, you're really starting to affect what's underground and its ability to continue to put out new, you know, if you're thinking of grass, blades of grass, which would, in this case, would be canes. And so they're pushing it past a percentage of harvest limit. I think it's generally thought to be somewhere around 25 to 30% of any given stand so that it can continue to regenerate itself. And unfortunately, that percentage has just gone far higher, and it's sending the plant backwards, essentially.
I see.
To keep up, yeah.
Oh, okay, so that's what they mean by over-harvesting. They're just cutting it way too far back in terms of its ability to regenerate.
Correct. Way too aggressive, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so tell us about the, you know, tell us about the solutions that you have that you're offering.
Well, yeah, Bouchut, which is in its 15th year, we're a biotechnology company up in Washington State. What we've been looking at for the last, I guess, research and development-wise, 12 years, is how to produce bamboo plants that could be used in the forestry arena. Because essentially, so people understand, bamboo only flowers roughly, I mean, it's not true for every species, but for these giant species, somewhere around 60 to 100 years. And so there's literally no seed. We can't produce forestry plants from bamboo seed because there's no bamboo seed. And so what we've done is we've found a way to commercially scale up production of important bamboo plants in a laboratory, no genetic modification, and grow them in the same, for instance, size that any other forestry tree would be grown, and send them out to open up a forestry opportunity utilizing these important bamboo plant species.
Okay, so let me dissect this, because for us non-gardeners or non-green thumbs or people who know nothing about plants, of which I fall into that category, until reading your website, I still know a little bit, enough to make me dangerous.
Well, this is a complicated story, so it helps to tease it out a lot.
Okay, so first of all, a bamboo, you know, I go and plant, I get one of your starts or seed, if I were able to be lucky enough to get one, each bamboo plant lives for about 60 to 100 years. That's the first thing, right?
So if you think about planting it as a forestry opportunity, you could harvest it up until, I mean, you could harvest it year after year after year for 60 to 100 years up until it flowered, at which point technically bamboos don't necessarily completely die, but they die enough that you'd have to, at that point, do a replanting.
Okay, and then usually flowering, when you say flower, what you mean, that's the point where if I was there at the time, I could actually take those flowers, and that's just what the forestry does right now. They take those seeds and they create plants by planting the seeds. But in bamboo's case, it takes 60 to 100 years to flower, and I don't know how much it usually takes for a regular, you know, tree out there to flower, but I assume that that's
longer? I mean, sorry, this is my ignorance. I feel...
No, this is actually great. And I hadn't thought of it quite like this. But, you know, if you think about our Douglas fir, they have cones every year. And they start getting cones when they're quite young. And we can take those cones and get the seeds from them and plant millions of acres of our, you know, native Doug fir here in Washington State. So there's quite an abundance of seed when you're talking about tree species. I'm sure there are a few species that defy that rule, and I don't know what those are because I too am not a tree expert. But with bamboo, it's quite a dilemma because we can't ever get seed, except for maybe once every 100 years.
Wow.
So as the research, I mean, over half the world's bamboos are either extinct or on their way to extinction, and there's really no way to kind of regenerate those particular plants unless we have seed or unless we can do a process that literally clones these plants, not genetically clone them, but multiply them in a way that allows us to make them available for forestry for the first time.
Mm. And how do you decide which ones to clone?
Well, for instance, two things. One, commercially valuable plants, the big giants like Mozo out of China, that's one of the plants that we do. And it turns out that here in the southern states of the United States, it's a perfect introduction site for that plant. And in fact, it had been the subject of a USDA trial over 100 years ago here in the southern states. And then we also do things like there are three native bamboos to the United States, and one of them is one of the most critically endangered plants now in the United States. It is a bamboo that occupied over 5 million acres across 19 states, and we are actually in custody of that bamboo and are now multiplying that bamboo and will hopefully contribute to a fairly significant restoration project here in the U.S.
Very cool. Very cool. And are you looking at, because you said earlier there's 1,200 species of bamboo, of which when I was reading, it seems like quite a few of them are going extinct. Is that part of your mission to look at some of the ones that are going and extinct and cloning them so that they won't go extinct? Or is that kind of like, that's not the business mission?
No, that's definitely a piece of what we do. And we do get contacted by different folks, scientists in different countries to help with that. And we definitely do. Bring material here to try and see if we can, you know, take it and figure out how to produce it potentially. Sometimes we're successful and sometimes we're not. But I would say the main mission of the corporation was this sort of forestry approach to look at these commercially valuable bamboos from a forestry perspective opportunity. But in doing so and in getting that success with the science that we're using, we were able to take now the species that are in peril and work with those as well.
Okay, perfect introduction to our next section. We're going to be talking about kind of the business and the economics of bamboo. So stay tuned because you'll want to know a little bit about how, you know, when I think we talk about green businesses, this is one of them, right? And this is a way that we actually do something that is environmentally friendly. It's not one that people typically think of, but I think this is one. This is a green business. So if you want to find more about it, then tune in the next section. And folks, if you want to create a happy planet and a happier you, then friend us on Fire It Up with CJ on Facebook. We'll be right back.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller, 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Imagine a chocolate so decadent that you'd never believe it could be good for you. Align your inner bliss with Mother Nature's magic.
The power of cold-pressed cocoa by Shasai, the healthy chocolate.
Shasai is everything you ever dreamed healthy should taste like.
We combine unprocessed cocoa with acai and blueberry for an unbeatable high-oxidant powerhouse.
Shasai, the healthy chocolate. Visit us at lifesaverchocolate.com or call 888-287-2011.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends. Transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great! We should spread the word!
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Transformation Talk Radio.
Bed and I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch.
All right, welcome back. I'm CJ Liu. Welcome to the Fired Up with CJ show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today we have Jackie Heinricher, who is the CEO of Bushu and who has been doing a lot in terms of building a green economy here in the U.S. I've been reading a lot about this, and I'm concerned. I'm concerned about our economic viability internationally, and unless we can come up with some interesting new business development areas as a country, I'm not sure what's going to happen to their economy. And so here comes along Jackie, who is doing this wonderful stuff, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about bamboo and how that may be an opportunity for us. Welcome back, Jackie.
Thank you, CJ.
So tell us, can bamboo save our country? Please say yes.
I you know, it's the perfect plant, and people often ask me what the downer is with this plant, and I think my only answer is the downer is we don't have any of it planted in the United States. You know, I think it can have a pretty interesting impact on our country. It is a unique resource. It's a technology that's here and now, allowing us to open up a forestry opportunity. And it's a product. It's the fiber itself in the pulp process meets a lot of criteria for companies that, you know, may be sourcing pulp offshore, for instance. It's just got, there's, although it's a complex story, there are a lot of ways that bamboo can be utilized. If you, I mean, just look at pulp and paper. We don't have to change our pulp infrastructure to utilize bamboo. We don't have to, we can literally pulp it exactly the way we pulp other tree species. So we can be utilizing some of the pulp infrastructure that is either underutilized or you know, going away, and we can do this in many of the southern states. I know of many companies that are completely offshore that have essentially told us that what this is going to do for them is they're going to be onshoring for the first time in 60 years, many of the companies that we're working with.
Is that because the product, I mean, the bamboo itself is actually located in China or wherever they're outsourcing it right now?
Well, they're not using bamboo right now. They're typically using, if you look, let's just take the pulp and paper industry, for instance.
Okay.
I mean, typically you'd be using eucalyptus from Brazil, or northern softwood, which come out of Canada. Those are the big old 100-year-old trees. Those are the two components that primarily make up a lot of the pulp and paper world. Mm. And so those are both coming from different parts of the world, and they're both, well, the northern softwood, for instance, are totally unsustainable given how old the trees are when they're harvested. Eucalyptus is pretty fast, but again, it's coming from offshore and is a little bit more expensive these days. So I think a lot of corporations, too, are looking for a truly sustainable type of fiber, one that can be harvested repeatedly, for instance, like bamboo, mm-hmm. one that's fast, like bamboo, and one that they could potentially utilize as a dedicated pulp source right here in the U.S. So the U.S., I think it's interesting because I think that whole industry is swinging back to the U.S., and bamboo, I think, will play a pretty significant role there.
Hmm, okay, so right now, if I actually, and so like if I look at toilet paper, paper that I print off of, paper that I write, paper in books, like all those different paper products are being made out of eucalyptus and northern softwood, or north, whatever, the softwood that you're talking about. So bamboo is an alternative to that, and right now those that's being pulped by these companies, or the pulping infrastructure is located elsewhere. So if we actually start planting bamboo in the U.S., then a lot of that pulping would happen in the U.S. and all the jobs and everything associated with that.
Right, and that's just, and you're just looking at one particular industry. So if you start radiating away from the pulp and paper industry, there's a multiplicity of economic development opportunities in those regions just by growing this group of plants. So yes, it will create jobs at pulp mills, and it will create jobs outside of that. And while we're doing all of this, we're doing something pretty significant for the environment. And let me just give you an example. For instance, let's say, you know, I needed a certain amount of pulp. Maybe it takes me 200,000 acres of forest to achieve that for my product line. With bamboo, because of how much it produces, it would only take 40,000 acres by comparison.
Wow. Wow.
So there's a real land use credit opportunity there as well.
Right. And those, I mean, and in the case of the softwoods, I mean, those are, I don't know how long until you cut it down, but it's like a tree that's been growing for, what 100 years, and then you cut it down in order to create the equivalent amount of product?
Exactly.
Is that right?
I mean,
it's
that, like, yeah, if you think of your toilet paper is much older than you are. It's usually 100-year-old.
Okay. I'll spit my coffee all over the place.
Okay, and we don't, you know, it's not something we recycle either. So these This can solve a lot of issues and ease pressure off of some forests that are very old when they're cut down and don't.
Yeah, why do we have to have pristine wood anyways for our toilet paper? Seriously, I mean.
Well, again, it's all about fiber. It's fiber quality. You know, it's softness, it's length, it's technical. But what's really neat is bamboo can create a lot of great paper products. I mean, right now, also, don't forget that companies use recycled fiber, which is fantastic. But, again, I think what you're looking at is you're looking at a whole lot of resources that are, you know, finite in themselves. They're becoming more expensive. There's not as much of them. Our population in the world keeps growing. So this sort of, if this fiber helps, can be utilized in the same products and it's this fast and we can do it sustainably, it makes a ton of sense.
Well, I think what I love about it too is what you're saying is we don't even have to retool. I mean, it's the same pulping as pulping, whether it's bamboo or eucalyptus or northern softwood, right? I mean, it's the same process and the equipment and investment and infrastructure can be reutilized.
Exactly. We don't have to rebuild infrastructure. And, you know, a lot of great things are being looked at and used, but a lot of times they can't be chipped and pulped. And so, you know, there's tons of really unique alternatives. You could think of flax or corn. Or the problem is when companies go to look at those for instance, pulp, they would have to spend, you know, millions, if not billions, to recreate a mill that could manage something that's not traditional or doesn't ship or pulp like traditional wood. So this is a real opportunity.
So what's the challenge? I mean, why aren't people just, you know, ripping out their cotton fields and putting bamboo in immediately? I mean, it's like four times better in terms of market value. It grows more quickly. What is the problem?
I'm personally ripping out everything in my yard to put more bamboo in. But no, I think in all seriousness, that's a very fair question. I think for many reasons, bamboo was not understood in the United States. But the big problem was the scientific bottleneck to produce plants in any quantity scalable enough to plant, you know, millions of acres. And if you look at past studies done at the universities in the United States, the footnote was always, the resource was fantastic, but the footnote was always there was no way to produce these plants. And after 12, 14 years of research and development, that is the exact code that we've cracked as a corporation. And you just haven't seen them because we haven't been able to plant them. And now we're opening up a new world in the forestry arena.
Mm. So is that where your company is right now? So, I mean, you've been creating the supply. Can just your one company probably create this kind of supply that we need internationally?
Oh, I think we can. And I think there are lots of, you know, ways to work with partners and to open up different opportunities. We are, as a corporation, our scalability and what we're doing already is very significant and very high in terms of numbers in our production.
Yeah. And so tell us about you had talked to, and this is part of, I don't know about forestry. You're like, hey, the key thing is that forestry and having various forestry approaches is that, and I think of like, you know, parks and services forestry. what did you mean when you were talking about forestry and what is that in this context of business?
Well, if you look at any, you know, managed forest, you could look to the south, to the, you know, southern pine forest management. They're really growing specific pine, and that's a fantastic wood source for a really unique type of fiber, and it usually all goes to a market called the fluff market, which contributes to making diapers and things along those lines. But those are purposely planted, and then they grow up, and after a certain number of years, they're harvested and sent to the mills. And that's what we're really talking about here. We're talking about growing bamboo as a forestry product to be harvested, shipped, and put in different types of products. And you know, literally, the cotton industry could benefit from bamboo because a lot of the textiles you see are a good blend of cotton and bamboo, and so I think it would potentially energize just even our domestic cotton industry.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Okay, this is like the miracle. I mean, it's a miracle product. I'm just going to rip out my yard and plant bamboo in it. seriously, I'm thrilled. Okay, so, I mean, it always feels so desperate. I read these environmental books, and I just get despondent. Like, what am I supposed to do? What is the answer? And this seems to be a really viable answer on so many different dimensions. So it's fascinating and exciting. Okay, stay tuned, guys, to hear more exciting stuff about bamboo. And if you have any questions for Jackie, please call us at 800-930-2819. And if you want to hear more shows like this one, then make sure to friend us on the Fired Up with CJ page on Facebook. We'll be right back.
If I die young, bury me in satin, lay me down on a bed of roses, sink me in the river at dawn, send me away with the words of a love song. Uh-oh, uh-oh. Lord, make me a rainbow, I'll shine down on my...
What would it take for you to feel free and know that you have all the time you need to fulfill your destiny and live the life of your dreams? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be in this state of being every single day? Learn how to develop this profound knowing and this skill by cultivating gratitude in your daily life. Each moment, you have a choice. Take the time now. In this present moment, to open yourself to more valuable time for you. Use our gratitude journal, graced with our bungee bookmark, infused with the essence of gratitude, and write down what you are grateful for. This daily practice will transform your life and shift your reality. Offer yourself this amazing gift of gratitude and transform your own life in health, creativity, wealth, and enriched relationships. Visit our Gratitude Living Boutique at explorationgratitude.com.
In each week on Wednesdays at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And Dr. Peggy will lead you through the maze of info on topics from allergies and antioxidants to zinc and xylitol and all points in between, providing you with simple solutions to help you achieve optimal health for your mind, body, and spirit. Visit SimpleHealthNetwork.com to take your health back and get your copy of Dr. Peggy's amazing cookbook, OMG! That's allergy-free.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Wouldn't you love to live in simple gratitude for each moment of your life? When gratitude is integrated in life, it uplifts your own sense of well-being at a very deep level, and you create each day with wonder and passion. Gratitude expressed daily gives us wings to fly towards its highest summits. By writing your 5 gratitudes a day in your journal, you open yourself up to new possibilities to live your life to the fullest. Wishing you a day filled with the essence of gratitude. To get your gratitude journal and bungee bookmark infused with the essence of gratitude, visit our Gratitude Living Boutique at explorationgratitude.com.
Transformation Talk Radio is designed to attract people like you and like me. Millions of people across the globe are looking to uplevel their lives. If you have a message and want to take it out on Transformation Talk Radio, make sure you give us a call, 1-800-930-2819, or send an email to host@transformationtalkradio.com and get ready to host your own show on one of the fastest growing transformative networks in the world. Transformation Talk Radio.
Everybody, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network, and we are learning a ton about bamboo. I never knew there was so much to talk about with bamboo, and I'm here with Jackie Henricher, who's the CEO of Bushu, and we were talking about how bamboo is just so great for the environment, how it offers some huge economic development opportunities for the country and to build a green economy, and and welcome back, Jackie.
Thank you very much, CJ.
I'm just so enthralled. My mind is working at 1,000 miles per hour going, what are we going to do to get bamboo all over the place? Is this what every day is like for you?
Well, when I sort of. Running a company has its challenges, but there is some great excitement around this and some serious interest on the corporate level, so it's great.
Yeah. So tell me, what is the government doing anything? Do they care? Is it mostly a business thing? Do the environmental folks come to you and ask you? I mean, who are you working with?
Well, you know, that's a great question, and I don't think not clear about government. I've mostly, as a corporation, we've worked with local, on the ground state officials, economic development folks within individual states. So from the state level, there's lots of participation. We have had conversations with several of the non-governmental organizations looking at how this will impact. Just working with corporations to try to help them come back to the U.S. utilizing this as their opportunity.
Are you still there? Hello?
Yes.
Okay. You know, something happened technically, and I had no idea what you just did in the last 3 minutes, what you said. However, I think what you're saying, because I heard bits and pieces of it, because we're having technical difficulties, were that you were working with non-government agencies as well as corporations in developing your product. Is that in developing your mission? Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Hey, that's like risk listening. I heard every other word, I think, of what you said.
Hopefully it wasn't on my end.
No problem. So what are some of the other kind of, what are some other things that we can look forward to in terms of bamboo? What's the latest and greatest?
Well, I think, from our perspective, the latest and greatest will be to watch these plants grow up into, forests right here in the United States, so that we can be creating our own products and see a lot more of those made in the USA type products that are actually truly sustainable. I mean, cradle to cradle, not being brought from halfway around the world.
And I mean, here's the thing about bamboo. You keep on mentioning the southern states, and I have bamboo here in the Pacific Northwest. Is the kind of environment that we need in order to, plant mozo? I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Mozo,
mm-hmm.
That gigantic bamboo species. Can that only be grown in the south? I mean, what are the environmental conditions that are needed, and what are the kind of regions that are most targeted for building these foresting areas?
Well, that's just one of the many exciting bamboos that can be utilized. I mean, we could be doing a similar thing in the Pacific Northwest. It just so happens that we mozo, just the heat, the humidity, the time of year of the rainfall, the amount of rainfall, makes it a perfect introduction site. And the southern states themselves have some economic challenges, as well as having a pretty good pulp infrastructure. So it's really a place where we started to look at, you know, where this could start. But there are other colder, hardier species that are quite large that could be utilized in other parts of the United States. So it's not just limited to the southern states at all.
Okay, but that was your focus, which is like, this is kind of a no-brainer because there's a clear economic opportunity for them to take advantage of. Okay, yeah. Got it. And what's the reaction? I mean, so you've talked to the southern states, you've talked to the governments. Are they, and I read one article on your website where it seemed like, well, you know, it takes so long to grow. I mean, I wasn't sure what they meant by that, but I mean, what are the challenges with trying to get some of the southern states to build forests?
Well, I think the challenge really is to be able to have somebody that can utilize the pulp. Because really, I mean, if you're talking to a landowner, their question is always going to be, who's going to buy it and what will they pay me? State economic development folks are extremely excited, but again, this has to be driven down from the end user so that it's successful, because you really need someone that's going to take the product. So what Bouchut has done is gone to, you know, Fortune 50 companies to see if there's a good fit. And we've been able to find companies that are very interested, and that allows, you know, state officials to be more energized with incentives, and that allows landowners to be excited about the fact that there's a taker, and pulp mills excited about the fact that then once the pulp is made, there's an end user. So it really had to be driven from the top down.
Interesting, yeah. So that's why you're doing a ton of business development, because you need to have an imminent buyer that will actually substantiate, yes, I'm going to buy a bunch, and it has to be someone who's building a lot, you know, using a lot of paper, like a warehouser or something, to a company of that size.
Exactly, yeah. And I mean, once you see that, though, I think, again, what will radiate off that are a lot of really great industries around, above and beyond the pulp and paper arena. But I think we had to start in a place where there was a little bit of a plug and play opportunity.
Right. And because in the southern states, I guess, still has a lot of the infrastructures because of cotton. I mean, so is there still a lot of cotton being grown down south?
Well, cotton's a different kind of infrastructure than the pulping paper process.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I keep on thinking of the South as just growing cotton. I don't know.
This makes no sense. And to answer your question, there is still a lot of cotton grown in the southern states. Yes.
Okay, got. But that's why the southern, because they actually, there's a lot of pulping, irrespective of the pulp, whether it's the trees, softwoods that you said that are down there, or the cotton. They're set up perfectly. So that was the first target area that you looked at.
Exactly. Exactly right. From a business perspective, that was the target.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, thank you so much. This is so fascinating, and thank you for doing. I mean, thank you for your product. It really is. Give yourself a pat on the back. I mean, what an incredible product that you're able to, solve an imminent crisis that we have in the supply of bamboo, and then also create economic opportunities for the U.S. I mean, I think it's brilliant. So thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm honored to be able to tell the story, CJ. Thank you so much.
Now, folks, remember, if you want to hear shows like this one, make sure to friend us on the Fired Up with CJ page on Facebook. Thank you, Brian, at WBLQ. And this is the month in which we honor Earth. It's Earth Day by having a whole month of environmental shows. And next week, we're going to be talking about local governments and what they're doing with respect to sustainability. So tune in next week and have a great weekend. See you next Thursday.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Don't touch that dial. We'll be beginning a brand new show at the top of the hour with one of our amazing hosts, Transformation Talk Radio.
talk radio to change the world.